May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, Jenny and I, along with a number of parishioners, joined with members of the community and the congregation at the Jewish temple in town to mourn the lives lost at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. The service was incredibly beautiful, appropriately mournful in a way that our Jewish friends do so well, and oddly, somewhat familiar. Not because I have been to that many Jewish memorial services, but because in the last year I have been to all too many vigils, memorials, and remembrances for lives lost to senseless violence and rank hatred played out on a grand scale. It has become almost commonplace in a way that worries me. I have begun to accept going to such events as normal. But worse yet, I have begun to have problems imagining a different future. That's troubling because that imagining is the key act of faith. Faith is being able to see with the eyes of God, to imagine what the kingdom would look like here among us, and to take the incremental steps to make it a reality. St. Francis of Assisi imagined a world in which all creation lived harmoniously at peace, mutually thriving. He could picture it as a reality in his mind's eye, and he would go into the fields and preach to the birds and the animals to make that picture begin to materialize. St. Teresa of Calcutta envisioned a world in which every life had value, healing was possible, and wholeness was reached as a community of love was formed. She looked out on the desperate, poverty-stricken streets of Calcutta and through her eyes of faith saw a way to that kingdom's vision and began to heal people one at a time, creating the community she knew was God's dream. St. Oscar Romero imagined a world in which the poor were not oppressed and violence was not the common language of his country. And he began to advocate for justice, to lift up the downtrodden, and to tamp down the hatred that flowed so freely. This is what saintly life is all about: faithfully dreaming God's dream and then actualizing it. It takes a type of imagination that we call faith. It takes overcoming the tendency to fall into the place where we believe that the world as we experience it is the only possible world. Barbara Brown Taylor, the Episcopal priest and writer, talks about this. She says that as Christians, we are by vocation dreamers. She writes, "We are all dreamers. But dreamers have fallen upon hard times. We belong culturally to a people whose sense of reality is much more limited. We have been schooled in science and philosophy. We have learned to trust what we can handle and prove. We have been taught to think, not to dream. And we have lived long enough to watch many of our own dreams die hard. Only saints and children still believe their dreams will come true. The rest of us are adults who know the difference between fact and fantasy. Our dreams rise to our lips and we tamp them down again, remembering how often we have been disappointed by them, reminding ourselves that there is real work to be done in the world where dreams cannot bandage a wound or buy a loaf of bread." She goes on to say that we have become refugees of our own wrecked economy. That's the problem. We've stopped dreaming and devalued imagination, and without those things, faith does not exist. Sometimes we become the cynical people who put down aspirational ideas as detached from reality. I can feel the cynical part of myself saying, "Francis, stop that. People will think you're a crazy man. Teresa, what will all of that work cost, and how many can you really help anyway? Oscar, who do you think you are? You cannot stem the tide of violence. Why would you risk getting involved?" I've been taught to think rather than imagine, to be cautious rather than daring, to value facts over dreams. And none of that requires much faith at all. That's why we have All Saints' Day. To be reminded and called back to acts of real faith by the exemplars of that faith. The project of All Saints' Day is not to look backwards to our past, but to be buttressed by those people of faith so that we can look forward, dreaming of how each of us can make our world better. What we celebrate on All Saints' Day is not the amazing superhuman faith of the few, but rather God's ability to use the broken, marginal, and otherwise unimpressive to do amazing things for the kingdom. God uses flawed people to do divine things through ordinary acts of love. That's good news for most of us in this room. It's also something we intuitively know, because most of us know some saint who has changed our own world, who is doing some work to make God's dream present, who sees the world not as it is, but as it could be, and works diligently towards that day. I think people living out their faith through ordinary acts of love is what changes the world. The first step to get to that place is to dream. Frederick Buechner put it this way: imagining is perhaps as close as humans get to creating something out of nothing, the way God is said to. It's what faith is all about. It's the power that to one degree or another, everyone has or can develop. If you want to know what loving your neighbor is all about, imagine looking at them with Christ's eyes. If you want to change the world, try first envisioning it through the eyes of God's dream. The highest work of the imagination is to have eyes like that. It's when I can imagine having eyes like that that my faith is restored, that I can begin to dream again of a world on the other side of epidemic violence, when I can walk out of the vigil and imagine what real peace looks like and begin to take the small, faithful steps to bridge divides, restore trust and community, and work for peace. I think those are the eyes that John the Revelator had when he saw a vision of a new Jerusalem in which God dwelt among us. He was the dreamer of dreams, and that's why we turn to him not only on days like All Saints, but at funerals when we want a vision of wholeness with our loved ones restored, when we long for the embrace of God as a gentle lamb wiping away our tears, or when we need to believe again in the place where we are all alive again around the throne of God. He is a saint that helps remind us of the imaginative work involved in that most basic promise of our faith tradition, being restored to our lost loved ones in the presence of Almighty God, along with all the saints, living and dead, from around the world and across time. It's quite a thing, really, that we are connected to so many saints, connected to so much faith, so many stories, so much divine love. Especially in this day and age of alienation, and trying to find community and belonging in smaller and smaller ways. I mean, I may think that the basis of me being connected to other people is having theology or political beliefs or denominational affiliation or neighborhood or even Facebook groups in common. But none of that is what connects me to the body of Christ. What connects me to the body of Christ is not my piety or good works or theological beliefs. It's God. A God who gathers up all of God's children into the church eternal. That's the work we must be joining in. We gather on All Saints, not just to mourn loss, but to be inspired again to create the community that all the saints, historic and familiar, helped push us towards. We'd, of course, rather be standing beside our loved ones at communion than adding them to the litany of saints. But the only way to make that a reality is to make the communion itself a greater, more all-encompassing reality. The only way to realize that dream is for us to start living it by taking up our mantle as the saints of God in this generation, by daring to dream the dream of God and work to make it present. Imagination is what gets us there. It's what we have called faith in the saints before us and in the saints that we are called to become in this age. Amen.